That's what I thought, yeah.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The committee shall be in order. Senator Berglund, are you ready for number 19, Senate File 475, Senator Berglund?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 475 be recommended to pass.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a bill that deals with radiation therapy facility construction. And originally the bill started out as a bill that would simply repeal the sunset of the law that allows radiation therapy facilities only to be constructed in partnership with a hospital. I do have some handouts here, if a page could come and hand them out. Since the bill was introduced and before it was heard in the policy committee, we did discover that there were some problems with the existing law, and those problems were first called to our attention in Senator Saltzman's district, and so I'd like to yield to her to see if she would like to just speak about the situation she has in her district.
Further discussion, Senator Saltzman.
Yes. On this issue, Mr. President, I met with one of my hospitals. I have two community hospitals in my district, and I met with them in January. And later had a call from them because we talked about that they are a fairly new hospital and are beginning to expand and looking at expanding to developing a cancer center. And they called me and wrote me a letter later in February about plans that were about to occur where another hospital was going to be coming in and working with a group of doctors and a large corporation in Houston, Texas, to build a very large radiation treatment facility and cancer, almost across the street from the hospital. Now, I'm not a healthcare economist, but what I can tell you is I do know that hospitals have areas where they perhaps are able to support a profit and those that they support with that particular profit from these different areas. And cancer centers are areas that do are able to produce income. So I did a little bit of research on my own on this particular corporation that was coming in and read on their website where they were able to generate significant income from those targeted services that had the higher revenue. And that concerned me because it begins to undermine the stability of our community hospitals. But also at the same time, as we begin to talk about cost effectiveness and trying to keep our healthcare costs down while also providing high quality healthcare, we have to start looking at these kinds of situations and have a thoughtful discussion. I support Senator Berglund on this bill because I think it provides an opportunity to have that discussion. I know about in both the House and Senate, there's quite a bit of discussion about looking at health care, how we pay for it, who pays for it, and who makes money on it. And this moratorium provides for that discussion to take place, so I would urge you to support this bill.
Further discussion, Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, I'd like to at this time move the A11 amendment.
Do we have it? Senator Berglund, we don't see the amendment at the desk. You want temporary progress or something?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, the next bill we're going to take up is number 46, Senate File 1144, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1144 be recommended to pass.
Senator Olson, on the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I begin, I'd first like to offer the A1 amendment, which is a technical amendment that just correctly aligns some subsections of the bill, changes the letter N to a letter O on line page 4, line 28.
That's amendment number 46. No, that's the...
The A1 amendment to 1144.
That's the number. Okay. The secretary will report.
Senator Olson,
the A1 amendment.
Moves to amend Senate File 1144 as follows, page 4, line 28. This is the A-1 amendment.
On the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 1144 proposes changes in criminal law to create added protections for victims of sexual assault. Nationally, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 13 men experience a sexual assault in their lifetime. Typically, these are confidence crimes where the offender gains the trust and confidence of the victim and uses that against him or her. Nationally, it is estimated that 85% of these crimes go unreported to law enforcement. This bill was developed in consultation with the Sexual Violence Justice Institute of the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Part one of the bill is something that would protect sexual assault counselors' written notes, and it would conform these notes with similar protections that we have for clergy, physicians, or psychologists. Part two of the bill changes the penalty for sexual assault committed by a massage therapist because of the special vulnerability of a someone who's in the position of having a massage is similar to the same position they're placed in when they're being treated by other healthcare workers, by clergy or psychologists. And so we would basically be aligning this profession with those other professionals. Part three of the bill limits the mistake of age defense to a 10-year age difference in circumstances when the sexual contact involves minors ages 13, 14, or 15. So we would no longer allow, for example, a 25-year-old who is involved with a sexual relationship with a 13-year-old to assert a defense that they thought that the 13-year-old was old enough to give consent. And that essentially is what the bill does. It strengthens these protections for sexual assault victims.
A further discussion on Senate File 1144. Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Olson that Senate File 1144 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Larson, are you ready? Okay, Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1857 be recommended to pass.
Senator Anderson, on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that consists of amendments to the cold weather rule law that's been in place for many years in Minnesota. And we did have a bill that passed with agreement from all parties out of committee, but since that time, there have been some further discussions, and so I do need to offer the A3 amendment today to represent the final agreement of all the parties.
Secretary will report the Anderson A3 amendment.
Senator Anderson moves to amend Senate File 1857 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. This is the A-3 amendments.
Senator Anderson on the amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. It's a delete all amendment, and it was drafted that way simply because it was long, and had a number of pages, page and line changes. But what I want to say, be very clear about, is that the language, we were ready to pass the bill, but the Public Utilities Commission had asked for some additional changes, and those discussions and meetings were underway, and so we allowed them to have a few more days to finalize their agreement. And so the vast majority of the language that you see in this amendment are just technical changes that reflect the original bill as it passed out of committee. And I'll just summarize what the bill does, and then we could take a vote on the amendment. Yes, go ahead. This would affect investor-owned utilities, and it clarifies that reconnections as well as disconnections under the cold weather rule are covered. Under current law, between October 15th and April 15th, the law says that someone's heat cannot be shut off. And this, we've tightened the law and improved it over the last few years to ensure that there's an opportunity for customers to try to work out a payment agreement. And if they do that, then they have to have their service maintained. And the bill will not require, but it will allow customers to make monthly payments of greater than 10% of their household income, which is the current cap under current law. It allows changes to payment agreements if the customer circumstances change. It gives the utilities more options to verify income eligibility. And it has some additional prohibitions that relate to not disconnecting service while there's a complaint pending or an appeal, and no disconnections on holidays or on other times when the offices are closed and there's no recourse for a customer to be able to try to contact the utility and work out an agreement. Most of what you see is moving language from rules into statute, and because the changes were so extensive, what we've done is repealed the current law and recodified it under a new section. One change that was requested by the utilities we've included in this amended version in the amendment, and that is removing the requirement that they have to contact disconnected customers before the cold weather rule period starts. So we still require utilities to notify all of their customers, as they normally have done, that the cold weather rule applies, but we've taken away the early identification requirement of the utilities. So that essentially summarizes what this amendment does. As I said, it's the same bill that passed out of committee with a number of technical changes that were all requested and agreed to by the Public Utilities Commission, the utilities, and legal aid. The only really substantive change is one that was requested by the utilities, and that is to remove the more onerous early identification program. So I would ask members to support the A3 amendment.
Discussion on the A3 Anderson amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Any further discussion on the bill as amended? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the Anderson motion that Senate File 1857 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. And the next bill we're going to take up will be Senator Larson, number 31, Senate File 1557. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1557 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on the motion. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 1557 is a housekeeping bill brought to me through the Office of Enterprise Technology on behalf of the Minnesota Historical Society that addresses how we keep records or preserve records in Minnesota. This bill is intended to clean up the statute and to remove references to an obsolete technology that's called non-erasable optical imaging systems. Initially, the bill had some concerns from folks in Olmsted County, and we worked very carefully with folks from Olmsted County to relieve their concerns, because occasionally they still use some of that technology. And they were very helpful in that process, and we have relieved their concerns, and they do not oppose the bill. Members, that first section changes, removes that reference to this imaging technology from the statute, and the second section is a repealer that removes references to the to this optical imaging technology as well. And again, once Olmsted County's concerns were alleviated, we had no further testimony on the bill. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
And any further discussion on Senate File 1557? Seeing none, the question occurs on the Senator Larson's motion that Senate File 1557 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on the calendar, Senator, we can go back to Senator Berglund's bill. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 475 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Discussion, Senator Berglund. Do you have an amendment?
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the A11 amendment.
Senator, the Secretary will report the Berglund A11 amendment.
Senator Berglund moves to amend Senate File 475 as follows: delete everything acting in acting clause and insert. This is the A11 amendment.
On the amendment, Senator Berglund.
There are copies here for anyone who doesn't have it on their computer. The amendment changes the bill a bit from what happened in committee. It would create a moratorium on the construction of new radiation therapy facilities in the 11-county metropolitan area, plus the counties of St. Louis, Benton, and Sherburne counties. And the additional counties were requested by the senators in those areas to be added to the moratorium. It would not apply to the relocation or reconstruction of an existing facility owned by a hospital if that is being done within one site of the existing facility, and this would be a two-year moratorium. We think that the Department of Health will bring back recommendations. We have, since the law was created, we've had 9 new facilities created, most in the metropolitan area. And before the law was passed, we had 28 facilities. So we have a lot of these facilities in our state. They are very expensive facilities to build, and we don't want to overbuild them because it does add to our health care costs when we do that.
Further discussion on the Berglund Amendment. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, this bill is continuing kind of the unpleasant and I think very parochial debate that I also believe interferes with the patient-doctor relationship. I thought an accommodation had been made with changes, I think, in last year. I don't know of any study saying, and there may be one, that says we have too many radiation therapy centers. I do know we have a growing number of cancer patients, especially as we are an aging society. Do you know that 1 in 2 men will have cancer in their lifetime? 1 out of 3 women. My doctor tells me that more and more people are going to present with more than one primary cancer. I have my second primary cancer right now. I don't receive radiation therapy. But there is research happening right now concerning radiation that can make it more available for people who have the kinds of cancers that are kind of hidden behind other organs and they can't reach without doing damage. We can't reach with radiation without doing damage to other healthy organs. They're doing research on that right now. And, you know, I don't think it's the hospitals that are doing the research. It's my doctor. It's my doctor who's in on that cutting-edge research. That's who I go to for instruction and decision-making and advice about where I'm going to get my health care, how often I'm going to have it, where it's going to be. Those decisions factor into the rate of people surviving cancer. If people don't have an easy time to get to the radiation, because I think the average number of treatments is something over 25, people will require that number. It's got to be convenient. And by golly, it's got to be at the advice of my doctor. And so I really don't like us doing these arbitrary kinds of, taking these arbitrary kinds of measures to interfere with that relationship. I don't think that doctors are any more inclined to open up radiation facilities that can't be competitive. But I can tell you, I think it's the docs who are doing the research, and they're the ones I want to be able to continue to do that. And I want to be able to go when and where I can if I have to have that service. So I'm asking members to vote against the bill, against the amendment, and then against the bill.
We're on the amendment. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Scheid, the amendment is actually less restrictive than the bill that we had before us prior to the amendment. This says we'll study it for a couple of years, and then we'll see what should be done, and maybe nothing will be done. Maybe the law will just stay the way it is. The bill that we have before us that came out of the policy committee is much more restrictive. So I would say that this amendment is a compromise, and that you, along with others who feel that we should have more compromise, should be supporting the amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Corrine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I just want to stand in support of this bill and the amendment. This is the right thing to do. What really, you know, I can go into the whole long debate of why, but I just want to stand up and tell you that this is a good bill, and I urge members to support this.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Every time we say moratorium, my ears peak because we just had a serious discussion about moratoriums over hospital beds over the last several years. We had the biggest struggle. My first piece of legislation was a struggle over making sure that the Waconia Ridgeview Hospital could expand to serve the residents that needed those beds. And we've had the same debate with the Maple Grove Hospital. It made it very difficult for us to build a needed hospital in the state of Minnesota. And so I wonder, what are we doing to ourselves when we say we're going to build a moratorium? It says we are not, or put in place a moratorium, it says we are not going to build radiation facilities. The topic of cancer has become very close in my family. It's a topic that we talk about daily now. Cancer has hit my life and my family's life. And my father travels from Plymouth to St. Paul to go to radiation. And he's looking at cutting-edge technology called the CyberKnife, members. And that cutting-edge technology may save his life. And so the innovations in these radiation treatment facilities are so important. And how do you say that we are not going to advance and work harder at curing cancer and finding alternative treatments for cancer? I don't think we can do that. I don't think we should do that, members. And I hope that you'll vote no on this amendment.
Senator Higgins on the amendment.
Mr. Chair, members, with the costs in the medical world these days, I don't think that our state can afford to have radiation oncology businesses setting up directly across the street from hospitals. And that in some communities is what is happening. We have too few precious dollars in medicine, and what we find is that some of these organizations are clearly cherry-picking the communities and picking off people, and then they make an argument about convenience. It's just as convenient to go on the left-hand side of the road as it is to the right-hand side of the road. So I reject that whole argument, but they seem to get places in talking about it. The other piece that I find very troubling is that there are many oncologists who are silent partners in these radiation oncology businesses. And what happens is that they refer basically to themselves, to their own checkbooks. And that's wrong. Please support Senator Berglund's amendment and the final bill.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, I think I just want to make a distinction for you about the argument that Senator Ortman is making. She's talking about a permanent moratorium that we have on hospital beds, permanent, and she's comparing it to a two-year moratorium that we would have to study this issue further and come up with a more thoughtful solution than we were able to do this year in the policy committee. I think certainly with some 37 facilities in the state at the current time, no one's going to go without the treatment they need during the next 2 years.
Senator Scheid, then Senator Ortman. Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to refer to the letter that Senator Berglund handed out from the Hospital Association saying that patients are best served when the technology is provided in partnership, where hospitals and physicians can share resources and maximize efficiencies. I suppose that's true if you're talking about my insurance costs. I suppose that in some abstract way there's truth in that statement, but I think it's indicative of what we're talking about here. We're talking about hospitals and we're talking about doctors. I think that patients are best served when they have good medicine practiced by good doctors giving them good advice, helping them make decisions themselves for their care. It's too important to just turn over to some arbitrary moratorium. The innovation, the research has to continue, and I suggest that by continuing an arbitrary moratorium, you're not contributing to the research that's needed. Please vote against this.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. President, the comments of Senator Higgins are so well taken. This has got to be one of the most confusing issues I've dealt with at the state capitol. It's not easy one way or the other. Of course, I think there's a great hospital out in Waconia, and they do amazing service. And are they capable of providing radiation services? Yes, they are. Do they want to have a competing radiation treatment center next to it? No. And so I honestly, it's very difficult to determine who should be a winner and who should be a loser here. But I think that when all things being equal, we should allow the marketplace to develop as it will. And I think that if we put this moratorium in place for 2 years, we have picked winners and losers. And so I think that we should stay out of it. We should let the marketplace determine these things. I think that the doctors and the radiation oncologists are capable of negotiating this if we, the legislature, maybe stays out of it. And so that's the position I'm going to take, which is to stand back and let other people more knowledgeable handle this issue. I don't serve on the health committees, but I also know that having more opportunities for treatment typically are better than having fewer.
Senator Prettner-Solin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do need to rise to speak in favor of the amendment and Senator Berglund's bill. I think it's important to know that in healthcare, the market doesn't always work the same as it does in the rest of the retail and commercial area. That if you have a hospital that's operating and a radiation facility comes and sets up shop across the street, there's the strong potential that a lot of your greatest revenue is going to be bled off because it will be more convenient for patients to go across the street. But then what it does is that it hinders your hospital so that they're not able to provide a lot of the other services that don't produce revenues and are subsidized by some of these higher revenue streams. And so the hospitals need the full complement of services in order to provide the best care to a community.
Further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Berglund that Senate File 475 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. Chairman, my apology. I move that the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The Senate will come to order. Senator
Mr. President.
Pogamiller.
I move that I move that the report of the Committee of the Whole, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, members.
Senator Pogemiller.
We're going to adjourn now and to the House chamber to hear the Swedish ambassador. And so before I make the motion to adjourn, and we'll meet at 11 in the morning in session, I would like
okay.
to.
Okay. Without objection, Senator Stumpf and Hahn will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Olson from 11:55 to 1:45. Senator Sedgham.
Mr. President, could the Majority Leader perhaps give a little idea of what we might be doing tomorrow? Continuation on the list.
Okay. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, we'll just continue on general orders tomorrow. The list that we had, maybe some other additions, but we're getting down to the bottom here. And Senator Sedgham, I want to take a moment to recognize Senator Hahn's family also.
Announcements of Senate interest. Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, the State and Local Government Operations Budget Conference Committee will be meeting at 3:30 in the basement meeting room of the State Office Building.
Senator Tomasoni.
Mr. President, the Economic Development Budget Conference Committee will be meeting at 3:30 in room 200 of the SOB. And I also want to remind everybody that the Ranger Party is beginning this evening at 6 o'clock. All right, 6 o'clock at Mancini's. Hope to see you all there. So get your conference committees over with. Bye-bye.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. President, members, the Health and Human Services Budget Conference Committee will meet in room 123 at 3:30 or 15 minutes after the joint session with the House is completed.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, the Public Safety and Judiciary Conference Committee will meet at 4 in room 118.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Conference Committee will meet at 3:30 in room 107.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. President, the Capital Investment Conference Committee will meet in 125 at 3:30.
Senator Pappas.
The Higher Education Conference Committee will meet in room 318 at 3:30.
Senator Clark.
The E-12 committee will not be meeting till tomorrow. The House Chair has decided not to call it for today. It will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock in 112.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't see our chair here, but I'm fairly certain that the Transportation Conference Committee will be meeting in room 5 of the State Office Building at 3:30.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, the House Chair is not willing to call a meeting today, so there will be no meeting for the confirmation of our meeting, so we'll not be meeting today.
Mr. President.
Senator Sedgham.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, I'm not sure if the entire Senate's fully aware, but last week Senator Hahn lost his brother. His brother passed away. His funeral is this afternoon, and burial, of course, this afternoon. So I wonder, before we adjourn, whether we all might rise and
sure.
Moment of silence to Senator Hahn and his family.
Moment of silence for Senator Hahn's brother. Okay, you may be seated. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I would move that the Senate adjourn till Tuesday, April 24th, 11 a.m., and then as we adjourn, if members will meet at the back to have a procession to the House.
On the Pogemiller motion to adjourn till tomorrow at 11 o'clock, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.